Today on the Scott Radley Show on 900 CHML.
The other day, while we were all off celebrating Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it was you were celebrating, New Year's, there was some sad news from the world of not only sports, although, I mean, certainly the man was an athlete first and foremost, but he was more like, I would argue he was more like a statesman. I mean, athlete first, but he almost had a Muhammad Ali quality to him. I'm talking about Pelé, of course, because in most of the world, Pelé was probably, everyone in North America, I think, knew the name, but he was probably less famous in North America than anywhere else in the world because, you know, until recently, we were probably the least soccer crazy of any place on earth. But Pelé was a name that was royalty. And, in Brazil, of course, where he was from, Brazil, there, I don't know that you could have possibly found anyone who was a bigger deal than Pelé. But you go anywhere, and Pelé was royalty. Even other soccer gods, Diego Maradona, I watched a video of him when he met Pelé. All he wanted to do was to head the ball back and forth a few times just to be able to say, I got to do that with Pelé. Well, someone who got to play against Pelé for a little while, not many people can say they did, but John McGrain, who is a Hamilton Sports Hall of Famer, is a Canadian Olympian. He was a pro soccer player himself. Now he's a builder in that world. He joins us now. John, how are you today?
Oh, I'm doing terrific. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well. And you were one of the first people I thought of when I heard that Pelé died, because I knew that somewhere along the way, back in when Pelé was playing for the New York Cosmos, I believe, you had a chance to play against him.
I did. It was my rookie season, my first year in L.A., and Pelé was playing for the New York Cosmos, and that was his last year of playing professional soccer. And my debut was at Giant Stadium against Pelé, Franz Beckenbauer, Carlos Alberto, Jorge Granelli.
Your first game?
Yeah, the first game I started was against the guy who was playing right fullback at the time got injured in the game before, so they threw me in the deep end. Thank you very much.
And playing fullback, you're going to be seeing a lot of him because he was up front.
I saw way too much of him, let's put it that way.
What does that mean?
Well, he scored a hat-trick that day, and one of them I was responsible for. So there you go. Nice debut.
How old would you have been at that time?
I was 22.
Okay, so you know what? I mean, 22, you're an adult, but you're still a kid, especially, you know, as an athlete. You obviously knew all about Pelé as a guy growing up. Is it impossible not to be in awe when you stand on the field and look across and see him?
Well, to be honest with you, my first year in the North American Soccer League, that is where all the big name players came at that time, because that's where all the money was. So every game I played, I was playing against the Eusebios, the Beckenbauers, the Gerd Müllers, and I was playing alongside George Best at the time. So, but playing in Giant Stadium in front of close to 60,000 people with an all-star cast at the Cosmos War, I mean, it was rather intimidating, I can guarantee you that.
But, okay, so even with that, though, there is, I would think, in the eyes of most casual fans even, and you're not a casual fan, of course, but there is a big difference between Beckenbauer and even George Best and Pelé. There is a different level when you talk about him.
Well, he's, as you said in your intro, when you're talking about statesmen, there isn't a part of the world where Pelé went where he was not, the name was not recognizable. In fact, he was so valuable to the country of Brazil that the government passed a law saying that Pelé could not be sold outside of Brazil. He was a national treasure. So that lets you know how big he was.
Yeah, and I think there's an argument to be made. I know everybody says that there has been no bigger, more famous athlete than Muhammad Ali, and certainly he was known everywhere in the world. But I think there's an argument to be made that if you had a questionnaire around the planet at the back in the 70s, and you said, who do you know more about? I think you could make a case that the numbers would favor Pelé.
Well, I think that's got to do with the fact that soccer is a world sport.
Of course, of course.
And it's played everywhere in the smallest countries that you can think of, whereas Muhammad was a boxer. But Muhammad was also a trailblazer politically and well-respected for the stand he took on, on
Vietnam
rights and so forth. But as far as the name itself is concerned, I think Pelé's the most well-known individual in the world.
Okay, so when you line up across from him, even though you've seen all these other great players, go back to my question, is it daunting, or is at that time, if you can think of it, when you're facing someone like that, are you thinking to yourself, here's my chance to really prove myself, or are you scared, or what goes through your mind when you're facing someone like that? Because it would be the same if it was a young kid playing Gretzky for the first time in your first game or something.
Well, I asked my coach, I says, you know, how am I going to play against him? Is he more dominant on his left or his right or whatever? And he says, well, listen, let me just tell you this. He said, great players, you can never stop great players. You can only limit them. So if you can limit them to a little bit here and there, you've done a good job. Well, he scored 3 goals, so obviously he didn't do a very good job of it. But every game, again, that was my first game. I was raw as could be. And every game I played from that point forward, I got better and better and better and wiser. And then we played them about 5 weeks later in Los Angeles, and we beat them 4-1. So we did well.
Where had you played prior to that?
I played at Brian Timmins Stadium in front of 50 people, 3 dogs and 2 cats.
You did not go from Brian Timmins Stadium to the New York Cosmos.
You're damn right I did.
Really? There was nowhere in between?
I played in the Olympic Games for Canada, but I went to school at Simon Fraser University, and the season before that in 1976, I came home to play in the National Soccer League in Hamilton.
For the Steelers?
I think they were called Hamilton City at the time.
Okay.
And it was in the National, again, it was a semi-pro league. And that was a year before I went to Los Angeles. And yeah, there were 50 people, 3 dogs and 2 cats.
I don't know the story. So how did you end up, how did you find your way from Brian Timmins to the Cosmos or to LA?
Well, that year after the Olympics were over, obviously it was an opportunity to get known. I went back to Simon Fraser in September and we won the national championship and I got the MVP. And I decided to leave school and I had to wait 90 days and I became a free agent. And there were 2 options. One was LA and the other one was Tampa Bay. And I went to LA because Bestie was playing there. So that's how I ended up. But there was no guarantees. I went through 3 different camps and finally got onto the official training camp of 20 players. And by the end of the season, I was a starter.
When Pelé, when you played him, I remember stories. There was there's a Hamilton guy by the name of Brian Ostrosser who was a baseball player, and in his very brief time, I believe in the major leagues or reasonably brief, he got to have a locker next to Willie Mays with the New York Mets. Now Mays, by that time, had played all of his time in San Francisco, and honestly, he was a broken down version of that guy. He looked nothing like the one of the greatest players of all time. Pelé obviously scored 3 goals. He could still play, but was that more a function of his excellence or was that a function your team just wasn't very good that day?
Well, this is what's interesting. Pelé was still a force when he played with the New York Cosmos. And what happens sometimes, there are players who tend to play maybe 1 year or 2 years longer than they should. And then it affects their their
legacy,
that they leave behind. When Pelé left, he left where he could have played anywhere in the world. There's no doubt about that. He played for the Cosmos because it paid him the most money. He was making $3 million in 1976, which was a fortune.
Yes.
And, he helped grow the game in North America. He did. He is the reason why the North American Soccer League became relevant, why all the great players came to play, because Pelé was there. That's the reason why the United States got the World Cup in 1994. And it's the reason why MLS got started, and the rest is history. The U.S. national team benefited from it.
Well, 100%. 100%.
So he's the one that I think is the reason why the United States is a powerhouse in soccer in the top 20 in the world.
As a kid, I remember the biggest star for the Toronto Blizzard at the time was Brian Budd, who, good for him. He was a good player, and he was a good guy. I met him one time. He came to my school and did a school visit and all that kind of stuff. But there is a chasm between Brian Budd and Pelé. And, to bring a guy like him into the league, or George Best or these guys, I believe you're absolutely right. And I know that, years later, when the LA Galaxy signed David Beckham, it was a generation later, but it was the same idea. I don't think it had the same impact, but it was the same idea. Let's bring in some stars and maybe people will pay attention.
No, I think it did make a difference when Beckham came into MLS. I think it gave it credibility right away, because Beckham was definitely not finished as far as his ability was concerned. But Beckham was not the greatest player in the world. What you would call a generational player.
Yep.
In fact, I would even go to say that he was the greatest player of the 20th century.
Well, that's really funny, because, we had the World Cup just end in shortly before Christmas. And when that ended, all I'm seeing on YouTube, on social media, pardon me, on Twitter and everywhere else, is Lionel Messi is now the GOAT. He is the greatest of all time. And it took all of a week and a half until Pelé died for everyone to say, oh, wait a second, let me rethink that. He might be second best, but there's nobody who was like Pelé.
Well, you know what? Sports fans have the attention span of a tsetse fly.
It's true.
They will grab on to what is relevant at this particular moment. But I think what you have to do is, taking nothing away from Messi, who I thought was absolutely fantastic at the World Cup for his age.
Sure.
He was brilliant. But over the totality of a person's career, I have to tell you, and I've played against a lot of the great players, Pelé was, for me, it was a privilege and an honor to be on the same pitch as a man like that. And there's very few people I can say that about.
Now today, and I think it's more of a newer thing in the last decade or so, but today, if you were playing your first game against Pelé, I'm guessing that after the game you would have gone up to him and said, can we swap shirts? And he, no insult, John, but would have said, okay, I have no idea who you are, but sure. In later date he would have. But did you do anything? Did you get an autograph? Did you shake his hand? Did you do anything?
I think I kicked him up the ass once.
That's not exactly what I had in mind.
Well, I got to tell you this, and you'll get a chuckle out of this one. First 10 minutes of the game, the ball breaks to the sidelines, and I went in like a house on fire, not knowing who it was, and I was going for the ball, and this opponent that I went in for went flying up in the air. And the ball was still in play. And it wasn't until that I looked that I realized that I just hammered Pelé. And instead of going for the ball and getting possession, I immediately ran over to him to pick him up. And the center back that I was playing with says, for God's sake, get your autograph later.
Yeah, but
that was the effect that he had on me, that all I was concerned about was that I'd hit Pelé and I've got to help him up in case I injured him.
Did you ever, though, get a chance to have you played in the league for a while with him. Did you ever get a chance to have a word, or was it only on the field as you were playing?
Well, the problem with the Pelé was he didn't speak English.
None.
Well,
not to have a conversation.
I think the only words he knew were, give me the ball, I score goal.
Yeah, well, he did that well.
But his English was not very good at all. But he was a very happy, outgoing, pleasant. The guys who played with him said he was great to play with. Just a real gentleman. And as far as swapping shirts, I think I would have to be sixth in line on my team to run and get Pelé's shirt after the game. That's how much he meant to the opposition that played against them.
Do you regret, even though you might have been sixth, do you regret in retrospect not getting an autograph or not getting a shirt or not asking for something?
Well, the interesting part is, I never, when I was playing against these guys, and I played against George, and I played against Johan as well, and Eusebio, and Beckenbauer, I didn't look at them as superstars. I couldn't do that and be effective. I had to look at them as just being an ordinary player. And I went into the game with the mentality that it's me against you. I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure, and sometimes I wasn't very nice with them. And when the game was finished, it was all about winning and losing, not about getting autographs. And but then in retrospect, I say to myself, I've got a few photographs of myself with some of these guys, but it was never in the front of my brain. The front of my brain was just about winning and losing. And it's not until after the careers are finished you say to yourself, damn it, I should have got a shirt.
Mm. But I bet you that, you could sit down with, if someone was a real diehard soccer fan and you said, I played with, you know, George Best or I played with Beckenbauer, yeah, that would be a great conversation. But you could, I'm sure there have been a few conversations that have started even with people who wouldn't necessarily be diehard soccer fans. If you said, I played with Pelé, like we're talking today, who would have said, oh, really?
Oh, I think most people would say you're full of nonsense. I mean, that's got a lot to do with the fact that then I'm going to be 17 years old this year, and a lot of the people who would have watched me playing are either dead or are in an institution somewhere.
Not just because of your play.
Well, yeah, really. But I think what's happening now is, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, that as far as the great names, they are now part of history. Just like my grandfather was at Dunkirk, and now they make a movie of it 60 years later, and people go, oh, wow, that's fantastic, but all these guys are dead. So for me, my generation, what I call the golden generation of soccer, with all the great individual players, they're all gone now. And today, it's all about Ronaldo, Messi, and so many others, as it should be, you know, as it should be. So it really is irrelevant what I have done in my life. It's part of history, and if people are interested in looking at it, they can look it up on the internet.
Yeah, John, I'll disagree with you on that one, and I'll use an example that maybe is more familiar, but I mean, I mentioned Willie Mays or, you know, Rocket Richard or someone. If someone said I had played a game, my first ever hockey game in the NHL, if the guy was 80 years old now and said my first ever game was lining up against Rocket Richard, I think people would still be pretty impressed by that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that one. And again, there are certain names in professional sport, no matter what the sport is, that they will live forever. And if you've had the honor and privilege of playing with them or against them, it's something to be proud of. You know, I can even remember during the Olympic Games that I was invited on board the HMS Britannia to have lunch with the Queen and the royal family. I mean, That's something really, really cool. But at the end of the day, people think about what happens today, not about what happened yesterday. And the only time it becomes relevant is when that person dies. And then people go, oh, an icon has died. And then people go, oh, yeah, I used to play with him and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah, but if
that's my memory, and it'll probably die with me.
But if you're ever going to have been able to say something like that, you know, it's very cool that it was the, I would argue, undisputed greatest of all time. I mean, it's really nice to, for all the people who played against someone who was second or third or in the discussion for top 10, but you know, again, whether it's if you played with Babe Ruth or if you played with Michael Jordan or you played with Wayne Gretzky, you know, or if you play with Pelé, that's, you know, there's only one of each of those guys in their sport, and that's a very cool thing. John McGrain, it's a fun story, and I really appreciate you coming. I knew for years that you had played against Pelé, but I didn't know the story. Appreciate you doing this today.
Hey, listen, it's my pleasure, and again, Happy New Year to you.
Thanks, John, and we'll talk soon.
Take care.
That is John McGrain. It's a great story. I wish, I'm sure there are other people out there, even in this area, who have something like that where there is some, well, I'll tell you, my brother-in-law, here's an example. My brother-in-law, last time Paul McCartney was in town back 5-6 years ago, my two brothers-in-law were the drum major and pipe major for the Argyles and got to go on stage and play Mull of Kintyre with Paul McCartney. See? There you go. That's, course, they never told me ahead of time so I could come down and meet Paul McCartney. I found out when I was sitting in the audience, and here they come marching onto the stage. And like, first of all, it was really cool. Then I was ticked off that they hadn't called me to let me know to come and meet him beforehand. Nonetheless, you know, at the end, when all is done, you go, yeah, I got a chance to do that. That's, I'm sure there are other people listening even who have had a chance to perform or play or do something with the greatest at what they do. It's a cool thing.
The Scott Radley Show. Weekday evenings from 6 to 8 on 900 CHML.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.